Today's reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, and reading from verses 1 to 10. And you can find that on page 719 of the Pew Bibles. Page 719, Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. Joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. And thanks be to God for his word, and hope he aids us in our understanding.
As we think of words and meaning, we think of a word in the Old Testament and in the New. It reflects this place, a place called Zion. In the Old Testament, King David's coming, the building of a temple under Solomon, the bringing of the Ten Commandments and the Ark of the Covenant into that place was given God's blessing. And Zion became important. And throughout the Old Testament, the meaning of Zion became important as those who believed in that time looked to a future Messiah coming, looked to a place on earth where he would return, looked to a place that would be re-established. When we step into the New Testament, a different complexion comes. Christians recognize Zion, but they regard it as the kingdom of God, yet to come. Yet a kingdom which can come into our lives, here and now, so that we might feel the benefit, and that we might share that benefit. Today, on Zion, the Jewish people and the Jewish nation look towards a time where there will be a re-establishment and Jesus will stand once again for us as Christians. We welcome the Savior now and we welcome his kingdom and we welcome the effect of that kingdom, not just in our lives, but in the place where we live. In the place where we worship, in the place where we go about our day-to-day lives, the city and its surroundings. And so as we think of Zion, think of God's coming through his Son, his presence through his Spirit, and his activity and his desire to be active in us today. Lost Dundee. It's the title of a book I was given after arriving here. A book which charts the history of the city. It's one to be read if you're interested in how Dundee has evolved, how it's developed, what has happened within it through the years. And whilst that takes account of triumphs and failures, most of all, it sheds new light on lost opportunities. For Lost Dundee tells a story of how there were opportunities, but how they were wasted or squandered. Things are better now, for the most part, and the future looks brighter. But the question remains, what if, when we realise what has gone before? For Dundee, that has meant a checkered history of wrong development and redevelopment, all setting the city on a course which often has not benefited. And so time was wasted, opportunities were wasted, and the effect of that reverberated in all kinds of ways, impacting the people of the city, affecting opportunities and possibilities. And so think of buildings that should have remained and been preserved. Think of development which could have been and was never. Think of all that took place in the name of progress which never achieved its intended result. Of industrialisation which came to define the shape and form of the environment, of employers come and gone, and then of the wasteland created as times changed and the ability to change with it seemed impossible. That was then, and this is now, and I'm glad to say that Dundee, the Dundee that you and I know, is different. Yet, what has gone before has left a mark, not just on the place, but on the people. For what can be worse than feeling that life has amounted to nothing, that time and talent and effort have been put to waste, that there's nothing to show for what's been done, and nothing that seemingly can be done to change it all? All of that amounts to a human wasteland, one that's not unique to Dundee, but is certainly known in Dundee as hopes, dreams and aspirations all diminish, raising the question of why. Why does it have to be that way? And why has it happened? But there's more. For there is a wasteland of human existence to recognise, as people exist but without hope or joy or love, as they exist without knowing of God's plan or purpose for them, and as they exist without relating to the one who created. For in the midst of that comes pain and suffering, loneliness and isolation, as well as fear. But that's when God comes to the fore. For just when we believe that things are as they are, and that they will always be as they are, He appears, He speaks, and He intervenes. And in that process, sweeps away whatever has been thought or assumed about Him. That's what the scriptures portray, and that's the story surrounding the writing of Isaiah. His was a call to the nation of Judah, calling the people back to God. And his was a call to tell of God's salvation through the Messiah. And whilst there were words of judgment, and whilst there was need of repentance, we read of God's desire to renew not just a people, but a place. To bring to life what was already known and experienced, but unlike before. It's true that
that chapter 35 addresses those who believed, and it speaks to those who believe today. And it's true that chapter 35 addresses the environment where they lived, as it speaks to the environment we inhabit today. And it's true that chapter 35 breaks a pattern of belief and expectation. Beforehand, the theme of judgment was pronounced. But now, in this chapter, a different message is made known. And so God addresses places that were barren, declaring that they will blossom and flourish. For Judah, that meant restoration. And for modern-day Israel, wasteland is now productive farmland. But then the prophecy extends still further, to a time yet to come, one which will affect the world. Yet for now, God declares that where we are can be changed, that who we are can be changed. And so, if your assumption is that church will one day be no more, then think again, for God would declare otherwise. And if your assumption that this city will remain largely untouched by what we do or say in Jesus' name, then think again, for God would declare otherwise. For not only has change been brought to the people and places that Isaiah addressed, it can come here, to this part of Dundee, as well as to the city at large. And it can come to you as well as to me. But then Isaiah brought a message of encouragement, for together we can do great things in Jesus' name. A symbol of our hands at work, not in weakness, but in strength. And together we can go out with the message of the gospel of Jesus, praying all the more, a symbol of our knees, not in weakness, but in strength. And in the midst of it all, fear can be and will be overcome. That's when Isaiah points to the miraculous and the transformative. God's power unleashed in and through his people, in and through his church. A work begun during Jesus' ministry as a new age dawned, all of which continues unchecked. That's when Isaiah points to a new landscape, the landscape of our lives, this time irrigated as the Holy Spirit is welcomed, with the imagery of water that gushes and streams that flow, enabling the life that we know to become more spiritual than natural. A life that's refreshed and keeps on being refreshed. A life where fruitfulness is increasingly known. And that's when Isaiah points to another direction, another way to make our way through this life, a way that will take us not just on a journey, but to a destination. For Isaiah describes a highway, quite literally, a raised road, one above the level we once travelled along, bringing with it a new route and a new viewpoint. To travel in this way, in that direction, provides new points of reference. It will prompt desire to be with God, to know more of him, to experience his presence, to know of his will and purpose more certainly, to understand his ways more clearly, to know that he is with us, that he will protect us. Then as we travel with him, Isaiah points to a time when there will be a better life and a better world, as the wastelands of this life and the wasted times of this life and all that we believe about the wastedness of lives and all that we know of the wastedness of the world will be no more. Then there will be no more Lost Dundee. Then there will be nothing that is lost, only instead what can be found. It might begin with what Isaiah says, but now it can only be known by knowing Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, bring your life to us afresh. Send your Spirit to us anew, as we rejoice in who you are, in what you've done, and in all that you intend to do, in us, and through us, and for us. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.